Okay, well, if you take your Bible and turn with me at this time, we're in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. Our message series is called Miracles and Controversy, and we're looking at a section in the Gospel of Matthew which focuses on Jesus' miracles and the resulting controversy, especially with the religious leaders of his day. Last week, we looked at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and today we're going to look at the miracle of Jesus walking on the water, walking on the water. And this passage always reminds me of the joke about the two deacons who took their pastor out fishing. They had a boat, they brought him out in the lake, and they're anchored just a distance from shore, and they're just fishing away, and one of the deacons says, "You know what? I forgot my sandwich." He said, "Excuse me, guys," steps out of the boat, walks across the water, gets his sandwich out of the car, walks back across the water to the boat, gets in, starts fishing. And the pastor's just looking amazed, but you know, neither of the deacons say anything, so he just keeps quiet. He goes, "That was really amazing." And then the second deacon says, "Forgot my thermos. Hold on, be right back." Steps out of the boat, walks across the water, gets his thermos, walks back across the water, gets into the boat. They all keep on fishing. Pastor's going, "This is crazy. I can't believe it." He said, "You know what? If they can do it, I can do it too. If they can do it, I can do it." He goes, "Hey, guys, you know what? I think I might have forgotten something too." Steps over the boat, blah, 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 sinks down, starts swimming for shore. First deacon turns to the second one and says, "You think maybe next time we should tell them where the rocks are?" Now, of course, Jesus didn't need any rocks, right? When he walked on the water, he didn't need any rocks. No, his was truly an amazing miracle of God's power, of God's love, of God's care for his followers. So we're in Matthew 14. We're going to look at verses 22 to 36, but we'll start off just by reading verses 22 through 27. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? "Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.'" This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at this miracle today, I pray that we would not only be amazed and astonished and give you great glory for the power demonstrated in this miracle, but Lord, I pray that you would also help us to put ourselves in the disciples' places and see the lessons, Lord Jesus, that you had for them, the lessons that you have for us even today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I wish I could tell you that when you come to Jesus, all your problems will be over. I wish I could tell you that when you give your life to God, it's going to be all clear sailing from here on out. I wish I could tell you that following Jesus means a quiet life and an easy road. But you know what? I can't tell you any of those things this morning, because if I did, I would be lying to you. Life is tough for everyone, Christians included. In fact, in some ways, life for the Christian can be even tougher. In some ways, it's easier, but in some ways, it can be even tougher because God tells you to do some very difficult things. Let me tell you right now, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are going to face some tough times in life. Jesus said it himself. He said, "In this world, you will have trouble." That's what he said. Then he said, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." I like that part. And so as we look at this miracle of Jesus walking on the water today, I would like to give you three things to remember. Three things to remember when you are going through a tough time. Three things to remember when the going gets tough. Those three things are this. Ready? You are never out of God's sight. You are never out of God's reach. And you are never out of God's care. Never out of God's sight. Never out of God's reach. Never out of God's care. There's an outline in your worship guide with these three points and the other scriptures we'll be looking at if you'd like to take that out to follow along. But you know, everyone goes through tough times in life. But when you're a Christian, you have these three amazing promises from God to help you when the going gets tough. So first of all, promise number one, you are never out of God's sight. Never out of God's sight. Now, the disciples, they're in a tough spot here, right? They're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee at night, fighting a strong headwind, and they were not making any headway. You might wonder, well, how did they get themselves into this position? How did they get themselves into this spot? Matthew tells us how. Matthew says Jesus sent them there. Jesus sent them there. Look at verse 22 with me. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. This was the crowd that he just fed, the feeding of the 5,000 we looked at last week. Matthew says Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. And that's a very strong word in the original language. It's a word which means to force someone to do something, to compel them. Now, I don't believe that Jesus threatened the disciples. I don't believe he used physical force, but he certainly commanded them, didn't he? He said, this is what you need to do. Get into the boat. Go on ahead of me. And so the disciples were in a tight spot. Why? Not because they were disobeying God. No, because they were obeying. They were following Jesus' commands. So much for the idea that following Jesus will never get you into trouble, right? But the important thing to remember here is that just because you are in a tough spot, that does not mean that you are not in the right spot. It does not mean that you're not exactly where God wants you to be. Because sometimes following Jesus means you're going to go through trials. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him because he had a purpose for them and a purpose for the trial that they would face. So Jesus sends the disciples across the sea in the boat. He dismisses the crowd, and then he goes up on the mountain to pray. Look at verses 23 and 24. It says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. You might wonder, well, how does Jesus know that's what's going on with the disciples? Well, the parallel passage in the Gospel of Mark tells us this, Mark 6:48. It says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. So the disciples, they're stuck in the middle of the lake. They're fighting the winds. Jesus is up on the mountainside praying. Was he praying for the disciples? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. But as he looked down on the Sea of Galilee, he saw the disciples in their predicament. And folks, I believe this is actually the first of four miracles that we're going to see in this passage. Usually we just think about the walking in the water. That's one of them. But there's actually four miracles in this passage. This is the first one. The Sea of Galilee is about 4 miles across. And so the disciples were at least 2 miles away at this time. Now maybe on a clear day with a calm sea and from an elevated position, maybe, just maybe, you might be able to make out a small boat on a lake from 2 miles away. Maybe. I don't even know if you could do that. But even if you could, I doubt you could identify the boat or its occupants, right? But you might be able to spot it. Maybe. But at nighttime, with the wind whipping up the water and the waves, you're going to look 2 miles out on a lake and see the boat. Not a chance. And so I believe a miracle of seeing takes place here. Jesus somehow is able to look out over the lake, and he sees the disciples straining at the oars. Whether or not this was a miracle of seeing, the principle for us is the same. You are never out of God's sight. You might feel like you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere, far away from God's watchful eye, but it's not true. God sees it all. He knows your situation. He knows exactly what you're going through. Whenever you are in a tough spot, remember this, you are never out of God's sight. That's our first point, never out of God's sight. Secondly, you are never out of God's reach. Look at verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Jesus is on the land. The disciples are out in the middle of the lake. You look at that and you get, it looks like they're kind of out of Jesus' reach, right? There's no way he could reach them from where he's at. It's not like he's sleeping in the boat with them. Remember that other time he calmed the storm? He was right there. No, they're in the boat. He's on land. He's out of reach. They're out of reach. But what does Jesus do? He comes walking right out to them over the water. This is the big miracle of the story, our second miracle, Jesus walking on the water. Once again, skeptics always try to come up with all sorts of explanations for what happened here. One of my favorites that they try to come up with is they say, well, maybe the disciples just saw Jesus from a distance walking along the shore in the shallow water. Well, then, you know, once again, you're just creating all sorts of problems for yourself. How are they going to see 2 miles in the dark? How is Jesus going to talk to them from 2 miles away? How's he going to, from 2 miles away, step into their boat from 2 miles away? You're just creating bigger problems. No, this was a true miracle. Jesus walking on top of the water, demonstrating his power over nature, demonstrating his own true nature as the Son of God. You know, in the Old Testament, only God walked on the water. In the Old Testament, only God walked on the water. Only God had power over the sea. We read from the book of Job earlier in the service. Job 9:8 says this about God. He alone stretches out the heavens. He alone treads on the waves of the sea. And so by this miracle, Jesus was demonstrating that he is truly God. In fact, later on in our passage, the disciples will acknowledge this when they worship him in the boat, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And then Matthew continues in verse 26. He says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. So here are the disciples stuck in the middle of the lake. Jesus comes to help them, but they do not recognize him. They cannot comprehend a human being walking on the water. They assume he must be a ghost. So here's the thing. You are never out of God's reach, but sometimes you don't recognize it when God comes to rescue you. Sometimes God's rescue seems frightening. Because you don't recognize it. You don't understand it all. God can be right there, right? Ready to help you. But you also need to be ready to respond. You need to realize that wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you go, God is there. Maybe you've heard the old saying, wherever you go, there you are, right? Wherever you go, there you are. Well, that one's true. Well, this one's true too. Wherever you go, God is there. God is there. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite psalms. I love these verses, verses 7 through 10. The psalmist writes, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. So, yeah, you might feel like you're stuck in the middle of a lake going nowhere, far away from help or rescue, but remember, God is always there. You are never out of God's reach. You are never out of God's sight. You are never out of God's reach. And then finally, you are never out of God's care. Look at verses 27 through 31 with me now. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" So the disciples are terrified. They think Jesus is a ghost. Jesus says, "Hey, it's me. Okay, it's me. Don't be afraid." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's really you, if that's you, tell me to come to you on top of the water." Jesus says, "Peter, come." You know what Peter does? He does it. He gets out of the boat. He starts walking on the water towards Jesus. Miracle number three, right? Four miracles in this passage. Third miracle. First, Jesus sees the disciples out in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the wind and the waves. Then Jesus comes walking on the water out to the disciples. That's miracle number two. Now Jesus allows Peter to come walking on the water. Miracle number three. Can you imagine the faith it took for Peter to step out of the boat? Can you imagine what he must have been thinking when he first touched his foot to the water, right? And then put the rest of his weight on it. Can you imagine that? The faith that takes. Can you imagine how awesome it must have been to suddenly find yourself walking on top of the water towards Jesus in the midst of the wind and the waves? You know, I love Peter in the New Testament. He's one of my favorite characters in the New Testament. I love him because he's always saying or doing these big, bold things for Jesus, and then immediately messing up right after. And I love Peter because that's me. I also want to say and do big, bold things for Jesus, but just like Peter, I know I'm always messing up as well. Peter is a great encouragement for messed up believers like you and me who sincerely want to follow Jesus, but we are constantly falling flat on our faces. You know what? Peter does it again here. He goes from one of the high points of his life, walking on the water, to one of the low points. He's doing great, walking on the water, looking at Jesus. And then he takes another look at the wind, right? And he probably sees those waves. And he's suddenly afraid. He starts to sink. It's like, whoa. When he starts to sink, that probably makes him even more afraid. Which means he's sinking even faster. More fear, more sinking. Does the only thing he can do. He cries out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus does. Of course, Jesus does. Jesus reaches out his hand. He catches him before he sinks down beneath the surface of the waves. "You have little faith," Jesus tells him. "Why did you doubt?" There's so much we can learn from Peter here. Let me share with you three quick lessons from Peter. First, there's the lesson of faith. When you trust Jesus, God can do some really big and beautiful things in your life. The life of faith is a life of adventure. And so often we want God to do amazing things in our lives, but we're afraid to take that first step of faith, right? I like the way one author puts it. He says, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat, right? If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. And Peter did that. Good for Peter. Love Peter. Then there's the lesson of focus. Once you get out of the boat, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, it's great when you take that first step of faith, but don't forget about the second and third and fourth steps too. And step 100, step 1000 is just as important. You know, Peter did fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, but he got into trouble when he lost his focus and he started looking at the wind instead. So don't lose your focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your problems, not on all the problems around you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And then thirdly, there's the lesson of forgiveness. God loves you and God forgives you, even when you fail. Even when you lose faith. Even when you lose focus. Even when you mess up big time, you just need to call out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus is right there to help you back into the boat. And so we have these three great lessons of faith, focus, and forgiveness. Faith, God can do amazing things in your life. Focus, keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the problems around you. Forgiveness, God loves you and he forgives you even when you fail. And then Jesus and Peter, they get back into the boat with the rest of the disciples, and that's when miracle number four happens, right? Look at verses 32 and 33. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." They get back into the boat immediately. The wind stops. Everything is calm again. And those who are in the boat, they do the right thing. They just worship him. "You are the Son of God. Only God walks on water. Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus loved and cared for Peter when he was sinking in the water. Jesus loved and cared for his disciples when they were fighting against the wind in the boat. That's our third point this morning, isn't it? You are never out of God's care. And then Matthew emphasizes this once again because he finishes off this section with a summary passage of Jesus' healing ministry. Look at verses 34 to 36. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Notice the contrast here between the disciples and the people. The disciples thought Jesus was a ghost at first, right? The people recognized Jesus right away as soon as he comes ashore. The disciples lacked faith and lost focus. The people looked to Jesus and they believe that he can help them. They believe that he can heal them. They go running all over the place, bringing all of their sick to Christ. They believe that they can be healed even just by touching the edge of his cloak. Matthew says all who touched him were healed. And once again, we see Jesus' power and his love and his compassion shining through as he goes about healing the common people and ministering to their needs. The message is clear. What is it? God loves you. God wants the best for you. You are never out of God's care. You know, when we talk about God, we often talk about how God is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful, right? And we use those three omni words. You've probably heard those before. Maybe you haven't, but those three omni words, right? You hear about God, that God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, and God is omnipotent. And that word omni, it actually just means all. So omniscient means all-knowing. Omnipresent means all-present. Omnipotent means all-powerful. And you know, those three words that describe God, they line up perfectly with the three points of our message this morning, right? God is all-knowing, and that means you're never out of his sight. He knows it all. You're never out of his sight. God is all-present. That means you're never out of his reach. Wherever you go, God is there. God is all-loving and all-powerful, which means you are never out of his care. You know, maybe you're going through a very difficult time right now. I don't know what your circumstances are. Perhaps you feel like you've been stuck out in the middle of a lake and it's been a long time. Maybe you feel like God has forgotten you. You feel like he's abandoned you or that he just doesn't care. And it's when you're in that situation, that's when you need to remember these three things. You are never out of God's sight, and so that means God has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. He sees you. He sees and knows your situation. You're never out of God's reach. That means God has not abandoned you. He's right there. And you are never out of God's care because God loves you so much, he sent his only son to die for you. He is the all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, all-loving God who knows your troubles and who will rescue you in His perfect timing. So, don't lose focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your problems. Eyes on Jesus. Trust Him. Believe Him. Step boldly out into a life of faith and adventure. And when the going gets tough, remember, you are never out of God's sight. You are never out of God's reach. You are never out of God's care. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you for this amazing miracle, a miracle that demonstrates you are God. You are the Son of God, Lord Jesus. We worship you as God. Truly, you are the Son of God. A miracle that demonstrates your power, but then also teaches us so many lessons, especially through Peter. And then we have these three wonderful promises to hold on to when we're going through difficult times of trial. Lord, wherever we go, there you are. You are there with us. We're never out of your sight. We're never beyond your reach. You're always there loving us, caring for us. We trust ourselves to you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.